Though he had covered wars and conflicts, journalist Peter Godwin wasn't prepared for the surreal mix of desperation and hope he encountered when he returned to Zimbabwe, his broken homeland, in 2008. After ruling for nearly 30 years, the country's president, Robert Mugabe, finally lost an election. But instead of conceding power, he launched a brutal campaign of terror to stay in office. With most foreign correspondents banned, Godwin was one of the few observers to bear witness to the period the locals call the fear. Robert Mugabe led a civil war against the white minority government in Rhodesia, as Zimbabwe was then known. Since its independence in 1980, the eloquent, highly educated 87-year-old has been the country's only president.
There's a kind of liberator's old boy club.
Journalist Peter Godwin, who was born and raised in Zimbabwe, says those liberators' parties are still in power in the southern African countries that fought anti-colonial wars. He points to the Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO, in Namibia, and the African National Congress, the ANC, in South Africa.
Mugabe says to people, you know, no one can be a leader in Zimbabwe without having fought in the war. Well, the war finished 30 years ago. So you hear Mugabe talking to audiences about the war, and you look at the youthful audience, you know, no one in that audience was alive there. And of course, that liberation war message does become weaker as the generations go on.
And the liberators begin to lose their hold on the population. While Robert Mugabe always managed to win elections, his government's policies became increasingly unpopular, and the opposition won a majority of parliamentary seats in the 2008 vote. But instead of conceding power, Mugabe forced a runoff and began terrorizing the opposition party and its supporters. Peter Godwin went to Zimbabwe to cover the final results of the elections and didn't expect to see what he did.
Mugabe and his militia and army and police helping launched a campaign of torture on an industrial scale. And ironically, they used the abandoned schools as a site for these torture bases. So they would fan out into the villages and they would pick up opposition office bearers, the party secretaries and chairmen at a village level even. And they would often attack them, burn their houses down, and herd them into these torture bases. And there they would torture them very, very severely.
Godwin interviewed hundreds of these men when they finally were able to get to hospitals.
Many of them, they were in such pain they couldn't lie down or sit or stand because the flesh on the skin on their back had been, they'd literally been flayed alive. And some people were killed during the torture, but many more people were tortured and then were released to go back to their communities, and they acted like human billboards. They were advertisements for what happens to you if you oppose the regime.
He says Mugabe used torture as a campaign tactic.
Once you've done something like that to people, it can condition them. The next time you threaten them, they know it's for real. And now as we gear up perhaps to new elections in Zimbabwe, which Mugabe's been talking about holding them either later this year or maybe early next year, people are still, you know, they remember what happened last time and they're afraid.
But not all of them are afraid. In his book, The Fear, Robert Mugabe and the Martyrdom of Zimbabwe, Godwin shares dozens of stories of brave Zimbabweans who were tortured yet continued fighting for democracy.
There was one guy, for example, who when he was being attacked in his village, in his house initially, by a big mob of Mugabe's militia, he was in the room sleeping with his wife and his kids, realized that all of them might be killed. So he told his wife and kids to hide under the bed and he would run out so that they would follow him. And then while they all followed him, his wife and kids could escape, which they did. There was another guy who had been arrested so many times. In fact, we think he's the most arrested man in Zimbabwe. And I said to him, don't you sometimes just think it's enough already? Now, you know, maybe you should just give it a rest. And he said to me, well, he said, I tried to give it up and just sort of, you know, do a quiet life. He said, I felt like I wasn't doing what I should be doing. I had a duty to do this. He said, you know, I have a duty to try and help democracy to happen. He said, I just felt empty.
Godwin also shares the story of Chenjerai Mangezo, a candidate for the Bindura Rural District Council, who was brutally beaten by militants loyal to Mugabe
and he managed to hoist himself up a little so that he could look at his assailants, now lit against the newly emerging moon. And he said to them, "You had better make sure to kill me, because if you don't, I'm going to come after you, all of you. I know who you are. I can't stop myself. I lower my pen." "Why? Why would you do that? Why would you lie there and provoke them like that? If it were me, I would be pleading for mercy, promising them I'd seen the error of my ways, begging to join their gang of goons. Why would you be so defiant when they held your life in their hands, when they were about to kill you?" Chenjerai listens while I vent my incredulity. He is a short, smiley man in his mid-40s, with wide-set eyes and the sturdy back that comes of a life of labour. His head is cocked to one side, regarding me as though I'm the crazy one. "Why?" he frowns, perplexed. "Why did I say such a thing? Because it was true, that's why."
Not only did he survive, Mengezo won his election.
When he heard that they were having the first day of the local council, he was still in hospital, and he was determined to be there. So he got some people to load him into a pickup truck, because he couldn't bend his legs, and they drove him down this bumpy road, you know, several hours outside Harare. And some of the people who had assaulted him, you know, Mugabe's people, were there, and they were shocked because they thought that he died.
Author Peter Godwin says that resilience is what compelled him to write The Fear. He says Zimbabweans already have functioning political institutions and the desire to pursue democracy. What they need and deserve now, he says, is fair elections. For writer Faiza El Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.